Welcome to Band of Gamers podcast, episode number 22. My name is Greylock 3491, and this week I'm joined by DBQ Hams.
I can spell my name.
Osiris Prime.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, hello, everybody.
And Zeus Adonis.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Welcome back to the show, guys. I appreciate you all coming out for our conversation tonight. Let's kick it right off and get into what we've been playing, and I'll pitch it over to Osiris Prime. What you been playing?
So I've actually been playing some PC games, or at least one PC game. I was trying out WildStar, which is an MMO game that I actually a friend of mine had told me about that just went free-to-play, I guess. So we've been playing that, having a good time with that. And then my usual Call of Duty, a little bit of Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, and I've actually gotten back into Battlefield 4, so I've been playing a lot of that. So that's been fun. I've been getting back into there. And then Minecraft and LEGO Marvel Super Heroes, which I've actually been playing with my son. LEGO, we actually just, this is the first time we actually started playing that together, so I actually already beat the game, and I just wanted to have him, you know, kind of just start playing with that. He's been watching one of those LEGO Marvel cartoons on Netflix, so I thought he'd enjoy it, and he has, so it's been a great time doing that. So that's about all I've been playing. How about you, DB?
So I've been playing a handful of stuff, but can I go back and ask about WildStar Prime? Because, so we're talking about this later in the show, but I picked back up Star Wars The Old Republic. I had picked it up back around May the 4th day this year and played through it a little bit. It's the MMO by BioWare. And what turned me off for the first time was that it is very much World of Warcraft in terms of, you know, cooldown timers and your attack is which button you've mapped to 1, 2, 3, 4 and waiting for it to cool down. So is WildStar in that same approach, or is it more like DC Universe Online, where you're clicking in it, or Elder Scrolls, where there's an actual action associated with it?
So it's a little bit of both. You got kind of like a couple of your main powers that you can, you know, pretty much spam, you know, just keep hitting the button and, you know, you'll shoot or swing your sword depending on what you pick. But then you got the higher power-ups that, you know, you can use like once or twice. You know, you can use once, and then you got to wait for it to cool down back after, you know, 30 seconds a minute, depending on how powerful it is. So it's kind of a bit of both worlds. But it's pretty fun. Unfortunately, I've never played Star Wars before, The Old Republic. So I'm not sure as far as, like,
sure,
kind of the other gameplay and narrative, how, you know, how it plays out. But, you know, WildStar is a sci-fi game, so it's
yeah, it's got a really cool graphic style. You know, I remember watching it when it was released for a paid model, but now it kind of re-released under free-to-play. And it does have, it feels, or the graphic style looks very much like Insomniac's Ratchet and Clank. It's kind of got that fun, kind of cartoony sci-fi look to it.
Yeah,
so,
definitely. Yep.
Do you think you're going to go back?
Yeah, I'll probably go back. I'll probably play it with my friend. I kind of get bored after a while if I'm just playing those kind of games by myself. So as long as he's playing, you know, I shouldn't have a problem getting back into it.
Cool. Yeah, so Star Wars The Old Republic, I had dropped it for a while because it still just played like an MMO. But after really needing some Star Wars story after playing the Star Wars beta, I picked it back up, and there was a whole bunch of changes that had been happening as they're ramping up to a big release this week. So they're having a big release of a new story content piece that is actually going to be more in line with kind of a traditional BioWare choose-your-path story like Knights of the Old Republic or Mass Effect. So I'm really kind of interested to see what it does with that, but at the same time, it's still an MMO in terms of its action. So what I played, I enjoyed. I've been playing through one of the older story missions. But if you're a subscriber, you get a giant boost to kind of keep you moving through. But the story is fun. And so that's been enjoyable. But again, I don't know that it's something that will totally hook me. Or I don't know that it's worth $15 a month if I have other stuff that I'm playing. Where WildStar, you know, you could pick it up, play it for a little while, put it back down, and not feel guilty about paying a price and feeling like, or maybe that's just me, that I always felt guilty that if I was a monthly subscription, I better get my money worth out of it. So My sons and I, just like you've been playing Prime, you've been playing with your kid. We haven't been playing Legos, but we've been playing Mario Maker. Lots and lots of Mario Maker on the Wii. And that's been great. It is. They've been creating levels. Just the other day at the breakfast table, they were talking about how many stars their levels have. So just the fact that they're creating stuff and putting it online and other people are playing and rating it, you know, it's been a fun type of father-son time with them. So, of course, I've been playing some Destiny, you know, not nearly as much as I had been up to the buildup of Taken King, but I've got three characters, one at 290 and two in the mid-280s, so I've been kind of spacing that out, haven't even thought about raiding yet, because I don't have that time to commit, but I do have some time to keep playing the dailies and just kind of chipping my way through it. So I'm enjoying that. The game, the gunplay is always very fun. And the other game that I've been playing with some good gunplay has been Battlefield Hardline. Again, the expansions, you know, I've talked about this on and off since it came out back in May, or March even, right? I think that's when people started talking about it, and Gray bought it right before the price drop. But the second expansion came out, and another friend and I from Casual Adult Gamers World Voyager have been playing the expansion, and unfortunately, it continues to freeze and crash. And so, right, like any Battlefield game, you're always kind of questioning what that stability is going to be, and it worked fine before the expansion. So they know it's a known issue. They don't have a release date for a fix yet, but they're working on something. So that's good. And Hardline actually just last week came out on the Vault on EA Access. So for $30, you know, in the past, since E3, they've added what? They've added Titanfall and Dragon Age Inquisitions and now Hardline. So lots of good games out there. It really kind of gives a boost to the player base. So that has been what I've been playing most of. Most of that's kind of repeat stuff. I have been playing two new games, and we could talk a little bit more about those, but the one is Transformers Devastation. It's made by Platinum Games, Generation 1 Transformers. Lots of, you know, Platinum Games has done Bayonetta and Vanquish and Metal Gear Revengeance, all those good Metal Gear made-up words. But it graphically is really great. I haven't played enough to know if the combat is really going to stick with me, but right now it's $50. But I'm sure it'll hit some type of holiday sale, and for $20, it would be a great game. For anybody that has enjoyed the old Transformers, it is something to kind of pick up on a bargain bin at some point in time. And
Please. I know you said you didn't play too much of it, but do you think that, like, that play style kind of goes along with the Transformers kind of universe, you know, kind of that hack and the slash and, you know, beat 'em up kind of play that, you know, Platinum's known for?
Yeah, I mean, the battle combos are really good. The, you know, Transformers, as I always remember, and they always had weapons but never really killed anything, right? Just like G.I. Joe. But your weapon has like a limited ammo supply, and so you need to either recharge or pick up Energon or some type of thing. So there's some kind of artificial limit so that it doesn't become just a shooter, that there's a lot more melee combat in it. The nice thing about the melee combat is they really worked on the animations. And so it feels, you know, the punches animate well, and you can do, like, vehicle transformations and, you know, ram into them with a vehicle and pop out and hit them again with an uppercut. And so it looks like a really well-animated cartoon. And it feels, you know, the melee combat feels more personal, I guess. How about that? That it feels more personal. If you could just kind of stick on a side and it was a cover-based shooter, you know, they've done Transformers games like that, and they work, but it doesn't feel, you know, this way you get big characters on the screen, and, you know, they kind of dwarf things. So graphically, it's really great. Gameplay-wise and depth-wise, you know, from all the reviews I've been reading, it's only a 5 or 6 hour game. So I'm hoping to kind of just power through it, but I don't know that it's something that I'd go back and kind of high score chase. So I guess that it is for people of a certain age that enjoyed Transformer Generation 1, or people like me who brought Optimus Prime to school show and tell when they were in elementary school, there's some fun nostalgia there. Whether or not it's going to make a dent in holiday sales, no, probably not. And the final game I can't really talk about, but did anybody else get into the Need for Speed beta? Because I did, and I played it all weekend when it was up a couple weeks ago, and now I'm very excited to play more. I suppose I'm not supposed to say a whole lot, but did anybody else?
Which format is it? Because my understanding is, one of the major things they're trying to do now after, decades of that franchise is really settle in to some specified format. So there's kind of like branches or threads of that franchise. You have now, so now they're specifically going to do in rotation a Hot Pursuit game, a Most Wanted style game, and an underground game. So which strain of the franchise is this one?
So I will say that the only Need for Speeds I've played have been ones that Criterion has done, the ones that the Burnout guys have done. But this goes more along the lines with Underground. It goes kind of back to, there's full motion video in it. That was all announced at E3, and it's both kind of serious but also cheesy. It's very much about kind of street racing. It feels like, and even the film grain that the screen, that the full motion videos are captured with, it feels like watching a Fast and Furious, right? Nothing super classy, but just fun. So,
right. You did say it's the Underground variant, right?
Yes, I think it would be the Underground variant. Yep. So, yeah, there wasn't all about police chases.
So was there a lot of drifting in the beta?
I can say that as somebody who really enjoyed the Burnout style of games, I felt very comfortable playing it.
Okay, all right.
So
that's my only concern. I'm definitely looking. Every once in a while I look back and I have to remind myself that I've played. I think every Need for Speed, main version, not necessarily the versions on PlayStation Portable and some of the portable consoles, but I've played like every main version with the exception of Undercover, which I do have in my Steam catalog. So I actually went back and tried playing that a few weeks ago, so I'm kind of stoked for this one. But I tell you the thing I hated about the Underground. I mean, I played Underground and Underground 2, was the mandatory drifting. I don't mind drifting being in a game, but, what was it? It was Carbon, which was the one that I think was a launch title on the PS3.
Yes, yep, okay.
And I think that one had some drifting events that were required. Like, you actually couldn't get to certain levels of the game or certain areas without completing some drift events, which required you to get like a certain minimum score based on drifting, and that just drove me nuts because I hate being forced through drifting events.
Sure. Yeah. No. I don't know how much I can say about all the details, but I would say give it a look. Right. That I didn't see anything that would talk about, would prevent you from enjoying it. How about that?
Who am I kidding? I'm going to play the game, right? I'm going to buy it, and I'll just complain if there's too much drifting about.
So, Zeus, tell me, because this game was not on my radar at all. I looked at it at E3 and thought, oh, Need for Speed. I never really got into those. I am more of an arcadey racer type of guy, but at the same time, over the past year, I've probably watched the Fast and Furious movies, at least 8 of them, and there's only 7. So I know I've watched a couple multiple times with my kids, right? So somewhere in the core of me, I enjoy the kind of, you know, action of it, but I never really got into the game. What has kept you in or keeps you excited about it?
Well, the first thing I was looking to see if the reason you got excited about it would have been because it would have been one of the games in my article on 6 PS4 games that might not be on your radar that I posted on the site. But it is not, and that actually surprises me. You know, it's they're some of the best of the arcadey racers. You know, they're less of a sim. They're a little more relaxing. Relaxing is maybe not the right term. I guess because each iteration has a widely varied mixture and character of the racing involved from chapter to chapter, so you never really feel like you're in a grind. Like, I love Forza, but I love Forza because it does certain things every time, right? It has the classic Formula One tracks and a lot of tracks from the European circuit. It's highly detailed physics modeling of the cars, and I get into that. But I love Need for Speed, I think because every chapter is memorable. I love what they do with the soundtracks and the fact that they use actual artists. There are actually a lot of artists that I've gotten clued into because I've heard their track on a Need for Speed game, and I'm very big into music, and I pay a lot of attention to music and games. And then the Hot Pursuit and Most Wanted strains of the franchise are just incredibly fun because of the absolutely ludicrous things that can happen anytime you step out on the road in those games, just with the cops flying around and everything.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, no, that's... I'm glad you're excited about it, because I definitely... This was not on my list of things to be aware of or to pick up, but after a really wonderful experience, I can't wait to play more. So, but that's what I've been playing. How about you, Zeus? Welcome back. What have you been playing?
So I'll go through mine quickly, because... Gray has me under a time constraint, so I'll talk really quickly about hardware, because that's kind of what's led me down the path of what I've been playing. So I mentioned a while ago that I got an Alienware Alpha, the Core i3 version, and I got that while I was in transition from my old house to the new house. So I messed around with getting it configured and set up a little, but I didn't really invest a lot of time gaming on it. It is now in the marquee position down in my workstation area, so it's the number one PC that I'm running right now. And I spent some time this week really kind of connecting everything back up to it. So I've got it sitting on a little thermal take cooling pad that I usually use for my primary gaming PC, but I'm running this on top of it now. So it's an interesting lighting setup, because the thermal take fan thing, it has like a huge 120-millimeter fan with completely illuminated with blue lights. And then the Alpha has both the lights behind the Alienware head, and then it has a light like on the corner, like one of the corners of the box is like shaved off. And those lights, there's a little utility to configure those lights to be any of, I think, like 32 different colors, and they can be set individually. So just at random, I got the blue light coming out of the fan pad, a green light on the Alienware head, and like a purple light in the corner. So it's just one of those, if you're big into PC gaming, it's kind of one of those geek things that you marvel at for no good reason. So I also connected up a couple of my gaming peripherals that have been sitting in boxes. So I connected a game pad, which is, you know, not a controller, but like a little kind of tiny keyboard with a hand rest. It's got like 15 keys on it or whatever, and a D-pad and a thumb switch and a few other specialized controls. So I connected that. So it's a Belkin N52 Tournament Edition gamepad. So I connected that. I also connected this thing. It's a Zalman FPS gun, FG1000. So it's a gaming mouse, but it's kind of built and shaped like a handgun. So I connected both of those things up, and obviously that led me down the road of breaking out a bunch of my classic shooters and playing those. So I've been playing Unreal Tournament 2004, mainly because with the website I write for, There's a lot going on right now, and so I typically haven't started gaming until very late at night. So I wanted something that I could get into quickly that didn't have a lot of configuration overhead, and then I could also like get in, play three matches, and disengage without being tempted to stay up too late. So I'm playing U2 2004. I broke out Crisis, the original. It's not my favorite in the franchise. My favorite is Crisis 2, mainly because Crisis 2, I feel like the physics, it has a little more weight to it, and the action's a little more visceral. Crisis is still kind of a little floaty and quick. But utilizing your powers and all the different weapons configurations is still pretty awesome. And then I played Left 4 Dead, which is also another lazy pick. It's just something that I can quickly get into and play some matches and get out of. And the favorite thing I've been playing, which didn't use either one of those peripherals, my new game on the roster for the month is NBA 2K16. Mainly because I said, I'm really trying to get back into gaming this year, and I left sports games behind like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and used to play those a lot. So this is my first time. This is my first time back in an NBA game in a long time. So I got my 360 controller for PC connected and broke that out. Obviously, that's not like the other games. It has a huge amount of setup overhead, just getting your franchise started and face shaping your my NBA player thing. So there's a lot to figure out because the game has changed a lot. A lot of the controls are analog now. So I'm liking the game. The getting around the menus are a little tough on a PC because the mouse interacts with the menus and your game controller can interact with the menus and it can get a little wonky. Play calling is really weird now. It's like a 2 or 3 step drill down off of the left and right shoulder button, so I have not figured that out. And it drives me a little nuts because I was like, that's the one thing I would really like to be able to do in the game. But still, overall, the game is really fun, and I've only played about 30 minutes of it, so I played like a half of my first game as the coach of the Phoenix Suns. So it's pretty neat, but also a little frustrating. But I've also stayed out of it because I know that I would be digging deep trying to figure out all those menu items and things that I haven't figured out yet.
So, Zeus, is that... So I haven't played a basketball a simulation type of game since the PlayStation 1. Is this something that somebody can pick back up, or like you said, you have to drill down two menus deep? Is this built for people that are going to appreciate that because they've been playing the iteration after iteration and it's not for a new fan to kind of dive into?
I feel like these games, these franchises specifically, yes, are geared towards the people who play like every iteration or at least every other iteration and keep up with it. As I got out, these, particularly the NBA games, were starting to transition to the last version I played had, included an ability for you to shape your shot using the analog sticks, which I hated. I just wanted to hit the X button and shoot. But I'm getting a little better hang of it now. You can kind of go about playing it in a simplified way. You definitely don't have to play a franchise, and that's a thing that I'm really big about because I get into managing your roster and getting through the draft, which I couldn't really figure out how to do this time. I was a little pressed for time. So I didn't hire any free agents. I just accepted the rosters as they were. Because usually in the past I would manually set my rosters and depth chart and manually set up my changeouts of players on the court, and I would manually call for those changeouts. I wouldn't let the computer do that. Right now I'm letting it handle a lot of that stuff. I think the way that I'm going to go about it and the way for a new player to get into it is to just get into that stuff and eat it like an elephant, one bite at a time. Focus on getting through games and just playing, not even worrying about like your franchise record. But what I'm planning on doing is, like every game, I'm going to work on, like, two things, right? Like, I'm going to go back and figure out the draft in a session, and I'm going to figure out how to call plays on the court.
Cool.
So Gray, who's up next?
That would be me, and I'm going to go a little quick, too, because I want to save time for our second segment, and we're going to talk about the Battlefront beta. I think we're all going to have a lot to talk about that. We're not even going to do news this week. we're just going to go right into the Battlefront beta. But, you know, let me just share a little bit of what I've been playing. Played some Halo 4 co-op. Want to give a shout-out to Macebite and to Downriver Rat. We had a great time. We got through several levels there. Played some Titanfall co-op with, we put it together. Ryder was telling me he wanted to play. And, well, he couldn't make it. So, but I still got to play with Prime, Osiris Prime and Jetty. So shout out to those guys. And I think we had a great time. We actually won a level, got through all five. We did Frontier Defense co-op. And then we came close on the second one, but we didn't do it. And then I went to play some Halo. Well, hello?
Yep, we're all here. Halo 2. I've seen you playing a lot of Halo.
Yeah, so, and then I went to play some Halo 2 with Macebite, and my Master Chief Collection said they couldn't install an update, and I had to uninstall and reinstall the whole game, which was crazy, took crazy forever.
That's
so,
a huge download.
So, we fired up the Xbox. Yeah, it is. It's weird, right? So, I fired up the Xbox 360 and went to play some Destiny, but then it had a gig and a half download. So we decided on playing Vegas 2. How can you go wrong playing Vegas 2? Well, so Macebite and I played some Vegas 2. Then we played some, we later in the week played some Halo 2 co-op, trying to get through that. And finally, I played some Rayman Origins with my grandson on the 360. And I would love to play the new game on the Xbox One, but like I said previously, one of my new controllers less than a year old doesn't work. So, lots of fun. That game is just a total blast. My little six-year-old grandson loves it, and we had a blast. And that was actually today before the show, so good times. And with that, we've all finished up what we've been playing this week. We're going to just skip the news for this week and go right into the Battlefront beta. Now, Zeus, I'm gonna pitch it to DB first, but we weren't quite sure if you actually got a chance to play the Battlefront beta. Did you get a chance to play it?
I did not, so I'll definitely be facilitating this conversation with multiple questions.
Awesome. So, DB, you kind of kicked this all off with a great little post soliciting feedback on casualadultgamers.com. So I'd like to kind of pitch it to you, and we'll get your take first, and then we'll follow up with Osiris, and then I'll go. And, Zeus, any questions you have, I'll throw them in there at any time.
Yeah, first of all, when you guys go through it, can you let me know what platform you played it on?
Sure. Yeah, and actually, that's a great start, Zeus, because I played it on both platforms. I played it on both console platforms. How about that? I do not have a PC big enough to push it and test it there. So I played it both on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and it is beautiful. PlayStation 4 is a little prettier than Xbox One. When I slowed down and stared at the scenery a little bit on Xbox One, I definitely noticed some more, a little bit more pixelation. But truthfully, the gameplay is so fast that I don't know why you would be stopping to slow down to look at it. And the way that, because you're moving quickly, it is very photorealistic. You know, as somebody who, it's amazing. It was great to look at. And I think the line I used when my son and I were playing was, it's a beautiful game, but it doesn't necessarily make it a fun game. So, and I'll kick it off with that I played solo, I played the survival missions, my son and I played couch co-op on the survival missions, and that was fun. It was great to play couch co-op. I think it was really enjoyable. And it totally sucks you in. It does Star Wars very well. And then I played some Drop Zone, where you're defending a drop pod, and there's a timer. You know, it's kind of like a control point game. And then I played the Big Hoth battle, which everybody has been talking about online as well. So I will come back and save a little bit of my thoughts, but I think the statement. Well, I'll say here's three statements that I loved looking at it, and it ticks off all the right boxes in terms of the Star Wars fan in me. But as soon as I would start a match, I was ready for the match to be over. And maybe that was the high time to death rate or the quick time to death rate that I was dying quickly. You know, I've certainly have played through a good amount of the Crucible and Destiny, and have suffered through enough to get my Thorn bounty. So I'm not gun shy about multiplayer, but just the way that maybe it was, and people are squishy, and so are stormtroopers. So that part for me wasn't exactly what I was looking for, and I think the other part was, maybe I'm realizing that what I want out of Star Wars is the epic story and not necessarily just the environment. So, Zeus, you said you were going to have some questions along the way. Do you have some questions, or are you ready for a counterpoint?
Yeah, no, I have a question. They have stacked up very quickly in my mind, which is surprising to myself. And I have not played a Battlefront game, so you may have to kind of hit me to the framework that the game is kind of set in, but of the kind of vectors you can come at the game from, as far as, whether you fight it out on the ground or get in a flying craft and kind of engage in that classic Star Wars dogfight kind of thing, and I guess maybe Jedi are an option as well. Which kind of combat mode did you find the most engaging in the beta?
I'll throw my piece in, and then I'm going to throw it over to the pilot in Osiris Prime here and let him pitch into this. So I played the Hoss 1, and I got into a couple turrets. I played a TIE fighter and a TIE interceptor, but it's not like the assault game mode where you're actually flying craft, where it's a dogfight. This was very much similar to picking up a helicopter or a jet in Battlefield, except instead of being it at a spawn point, there are little icon pickups along the way. So, Prime, you talked about piloting a helicopter in Battlefield 4. Did you get a chance to fly any, or what modes were you, or what mode of play did you enjoy?
Yeah, actually, I did get to fly in a TIE interceptor in, I think it was a B-wing? I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of the Rebel airships. And this was on the Xbox One, also. I only played it on that. It seems to control a little bit better than, say, like the jets in Battlefield 4 or in the Battlefield games. It's a little more forgiving. It's not as, I guess the jets aren't really too bad in Battlefield, but like the helicopters, obviously, they're a little bit more involved. But I just thought that the Star Wars, it was, the gameplay was a little bit better, a little bit tighter. It seemed to move a lot faster, though, which was kind of weird, I guess. I don't know, because you don't see these, I guess these are because these are normally like, ships you fly on space. They're not like on the ground normally, I guess. But I just thought it was, they flew like really fast. So it was kind of hard to hit people in other ships. Like you can shoot on the ground too, like you know, in Battlefield, but trying to actually go after another ship was, for me at least, it was kind of hard. And part of that might have been because I was kind of stuck in third person view for the first time I played, the whole time I was on on the TIE interceptor, I was stuck in third-person view, so it was kind of hard to kind of track the guy. But then eventually when I was fighting on the Rebel ship, like halfway through, I finally figured out how to go in first-person, so it was a little better there. But, I don't know, the space or the ship flying wasn't too bad.
So Prime, listening to you and DB seem to telegraph the same thing. Did you feel like that the physics and the weight of the game were too light and make the game too twitchy to feel like classic Star Wars? I mean, because I guess my mind is that the game physics wise, I feel like the game should settle in somewhere where it's not as quick and slick as Call of Duty, but isn't as weighty as Halo.
I know. I'm trying to think now because it's been a couple weeks now since I played it. I wouldn't say it's as I think it's a little bit more weighty than, say, like Call of Duty, but it's not floaty like Halo. I mean, to be honest, it kind of just felt like a Battlefield game, really. I mean, in general, and to me, that's not a bad thing.
Mechanics-wise, how does it stack up to, say, Destiny? Because I personally feel like Destiny hits, you know, for all the problems Destiny has, the sheer shooting physics of it, and the weight, I feel like Destiny is like the ultimate sweet spot in shooters as far as combat mechanics goes.
I'd say it's pretty close to Destiny. Yeah, it's definitely not as fast. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I would say that Destiny, I agree that it's got some great shooting mechanics. The physical feel of the guns and the shots. You know, the thing with, at least with the guns in the beta on Battlefront, there's no recoil, there's no kickback. It is very much, it is a sight-to-laser shot. I mean, it feels like I'm playing Jedi Knight Outcast, right? That it's this gun in the middle of the screen, and it shoots exactly where I had it, and it, you know, so that's not necessarily bad, but there's no weight or feel, there's no context for it. It feels very video gamey. And maybe that changes as the full game comes out, but in terms of having a uniqueness or having the fact that the guns feel like they have weight like they do in Destiny, for me that wasn't at all the case. It felt very much like a very arcadey type of a game.
Okay, all right.
So, Prime, do you have other thoughts? Because you had a great post as a follow-up to mine that kind of kicked off a nice discussion on Casual Doubt Gamers. You know, I know that it's been a couple weeks, but looking back at it now, what's sticking with you?
Actually, the one thing, and actually I was listening to another podcast earlier today, and they kind of brought this up, which is kind of weird for me. I think I mentioned this in the post. It was actually the sound, just the music, and the just how everything sounded like when you're, you know, running and with your, you know, like, say if you're the stormtroopers, you're running around, you know, it sounds, everything sounds like, you know, like it was from the movie, even kind of the chatter that you hear back and forth, like through the comms, not necessarily through, like, through the players, but it's just like you hear things through your comms, you know, saying something like, for instance, in Drop Zone, you know, like, you know, be careful, there's rebel scum, you know, over there and stuff like that, you know, just kind of those little things like that. And just the way everything sounded, the weapons, and you know, you're walking next to an AT-ST or an AT-AT, and it sounds, you know, almost, you know, just exactly like the movie. You know, it's you know, the ship's flying overhead, and it's that familiar kind of TIE fighter kind of scream almost. It sounds like as it, you know, goes by. It's, you know, I was really impressed with the sound, and kind of to echo what you were saying before about just the graphics itself. And you know, the game looks beautiful. I only played on the Xbox One. I can't, you know, say about the PS4, but I mean, I thought it looked, you know, great. I didn't have any graphical issues like tearing or any lag or anything like that, so that was nice. Everything ran pretty smooth. The weapons, they were like I said, you know, they didn't. There's no recoil or anything like that. They did. There was aim down sights, which I thought there wasn't supposed to be. I don't know if that was just with certain weapons, but it seemed like they all had it. And there's actually even some hints, like if you kind of check the hints during the loading screens, you know, kind of mentioned about that. But when you do the aim down sights, there's no advantage technically, like kind of like in other games. So it was kind of weird. I just always heard before that there was not going to be any, you know, ADS, but you know, it was in there. So I don't know if they changed their mind or if, you know, what happened with that. I only got into one ground vehicle during the Hoth battle, and that was the AT-ST, which was pretty short-lived, actually. I got taken down pretty quick, which I was kind of surprised. I'm trying to think what else. I think that's about it that I can remember right now, off the top of my head. But like I said, the music was, I just thought, you know, it sounded great, and, you know, just the sound in general was, you know, just like spot on. And, I mean, they actually put you in the universe. I know, DB, you were mentioned earlier and then kind of in your post how it kind of felt to play, like it was, you know, arcadey and kind of, I guess, more Call of Duty-ish, because, you know, you do kind of spawn in and kind of die a lot, especially in that drop zone. the drop zone mode. And, you know, for me, that's, you know, I always gravitate more to Call of Duty, so, I didn't mind that all that much. And I know I didn't play any of the survival mode, and I know in the full game there's supposed to be missions, so I don't know, maybe in there there might be, you know, some kind of story or some kind of, you know, narrative going on, but, you know, it's, you know, unfortunately I didn't have that in the beta. I think that's about it for right now. Gray, you got any thoughts? Or actually, Zeus, do you have any other questions?
I wanted to start Gray off with a question, if that's okay, just to kind of cue you up, Gray. So, you know, one of the things with this game that's risky is kind of like the movie, right, because people love Star Wars so much, this game, maybe unfairly, but it runs the risk that if it doesn't nail it, if it doesn't nail evoking all the things that you think about spiritually in terms of Star Wars, it could go over poorly. With regards to that risk, how do you feel the beta does against that yardstick?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, I thought about that a lot when the game was announced and before we actually saw the gorgeous gameplay, you know. And, especially with all the troubles I heard reported from Battlefield 4 when it first launched, you know. And, it's a very good point. Having been several months since we had the reveal and saw the great, gorgeous graphics, you know, I was fortunate that they extended the beta a day because that was the last weekend of camping, Columbus Day weekend, so I was not around. And then I saw that on the news when I got back Sunday and downloaded it. And I wasn't able to get into the first mode. And I could not connect any matches, so I was able to get into Hoth. Before I did the Hoth match, I did the survival mode, and I enjoyed that. I thought it was very, very challenging, but I survived all the levels, barely, but I survived the whole thing, and I felt it was extremely challenging and fun. And I thought the graphics looked great. Now I'm playing on the Xbox One, and I thought the graphics looked great. I thought they did a really good job, and I was struggling. I'm jumping into it, trying to get into it in the last few hours of the beta, and I didn't really have a lot of time for research. What's the control scheme? How do I do anything? How do things work? At one point, I put down I had picked up a drop. There was a package on the ground that I picked up that gave me a stationary machine gun, and I deployed it. And after I deployed it, I'm like, that's a crappy place. So I went to pick it up, and no, you cannot. It's stuck there, apparently. So I guess I've been spoiled by other games where you can deploy a gun like that and then pick it up and go take it somewhere else with you, which is always pretty cool when games do that. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed the survival mode. If it's multiple, you know, if there was 7 or 8 different levels like that that you could rotate through, I think it could be definitely a blast. If it's just that one level, then I think it'll get old, kind of like the original zombies in Call of Duty. Having said that, I jumped in the Hoth as a member of the Imperial Stormtroopers and Snowtroopers, and had a blast. I actually stood in front. I actually tried to stand underneath one of the walkers' feet to see if it could step on me, and no, they will not step on their own troopers. So at least in the beta, you can get in the way of your walker, and he won't step on you. He'll just nudge it to the side when he puts his foot down. So that was cool. But I quickly found out that... What's that?
I said they step on the rebels, that's for sure, because I made that mistake.
Oh, did they? Well, well, that's good. I like that. That's great. So no friendly fire or friendly walking, stomping. So one of the things I did notice, though, that this is if you get out in the open, this is a long-range sniper game, and I can see where additional detail would be very helpful because I was having a hard time. Again, I just stepped into the game. But I was having a hard time spotting people far away. You know, I come up over a ridge and die, and I'm just not used to that. And I'm used to Battlefield, and I'm used to the maps, and I kind of know where to go and where not to go. So I learned that quickly, and I had no idea how the weapons worked, which ones were good, which ones were bad. But I had fun as an Imperial Stormtrooper, a Snowtrooper, and taking the back path, I would get behind people and take them out, and because they're all running towards the middle, and if you take the side path, you can sometimes get people. And I love the things people were saying, kind of, and I was trying to figure out how I could say things, and thinking of all the emotes and Destiny, hitting different buttons, trying to get my guy to say stuff, and having him pointing at things while he's getting shot and killed. It was kind of funny. But, I really enjoyed it, but when I got to be a rebel, I kind of felt like I couldn't win. I got these walkers coming towards my base. I got all these stormtroopers that are in pure white against a white background. I'm like, yeah, there must be something I'm missing about being a rebel here, because it didn't seem fair. It didn't seem balanced. And again, there's no book, there's no walkthrough, there's no tutorial. It's a beta, right? So that was my experience. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the fact that it looked like there was a lot of people on each side, and I kind of like the server browser. I'm kind of hoping that, you have a partner, you have a party. There was two icons on the top left of the screen. One was for your partner, and then one was for a party, and they showed three little heads in that party. So I'm hoping this kind of means, like, you can have a squad of four, because if there's no way to join with your multiplayer friends, then, I mean, I just don't see myself playing it. I mean, that was one of the problems with Battlefield when the squads weren't working in Battlefield 3 for a while. It was so painful to try to as my friend Bullet would say, try to put a muster together and get everybody in a game. So I'm hoping that's what that meant. I haven't really found any information about that. But, Zeus, to answer your question, I kind of think I think there's a good chance that this would be a great holiday hit with the movie tie-in. And just playing a couple hours I played, I can't tell you it's going to be a deep game, but I think it's going to be a game a lot of people are going to want to play, especially around the holidays with the movie tie-in. And there's enough authentic Star Wars in it to make any fan, even if it's just for a short period, happy and have some fun. Again, will it last long term? How easy do you think, if you want to, is it going to be just an X-Wing versus TIE Fighter mode? There's lots of questions I have, and I'm sure many of the answers are online. I haven't found them yet, but I'm gonna plunk my money down and get a day one and take a chance on it, because I think I saw enough in the beta to not make me walk away. The first time I spawned as a stormtrooper in Hoth, I felt the controls were dead on. I felt, and I guess to what Prime said, I kind of felt like it was a Battlefield game. I moved right. It wasn't like Destiny where I have a shield and I have these other things going on. It wasn't the Destiny. Even though Destiny is right on, it's like the controls are great. It did felt like a very refined Battlefield. I felt I knew what I could do. I felt I knew how high I could jump. I felt like I knew how fast I could run. So I felt good. It felt good to play. But those are my thoughts. Does that bring up any questions?
Sure. I just want to I'll clarify something that just this past week the developers did acknowledge that the Walker Assault mode, the Hoth mode that you're talking about, Gray, that it was imbalanced, and that's something that they're going to try to address for launch. So
okay, good.
I'll let you ask your questions, Zeus, but I just wanted to clarify that piece because that has been something that they have addressed.
No, that's good. I mean, I'm impressed by the fact that that the Dice Studio would actually admit to a problem that they need to address. So, the one comment / question I was gonna make or ask is, and this may be unfair, and we may have blown past this point because I haven't kept up with like all the developer diaries and all that stuff. But I guess part of me feels like if this is it's great that it's a Battlefront game. It's great that they're tying it into the release of the movie. It definitely puts it firmly in the gamer and just the overall geek zeitgeist. I guess I'm a little bugged if the whole point of the game design is simply for it to be another Battlefront game. Meaning, and I can't remember the name of this game that came out on the PS. Three, I want to say, this game that tied in with Eve. Was it tied in with Eve Online? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yep. No, I know what you're talking about. It was the first person shooter that you were kind of down on a planet, and you were Eve. Yeah, the Eve Online big spreadsheet game. And I can't remember what
right.
that. Yeah.
It's like a number or something, wasn't it? I think there's
a
number in there.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but. But those games tied together. So in those games, it was feasible for, like, a battle to start in space with EVE Online, and then the results of that battle to impact a follow-on battle on the planet's surface. And I have to say, if you can't create, like, a kind of like a playlist and, like, string together, like, a series of matches that a group is going to be in, and, you know, and zoom in from light speed and engage in a dogfight above a planet, and then have that somehow figure into, you know, how the factions start off in a follow-on planet-side battle, and maybe go back to space, you know, as the faction that lost on the planet tries to escape or something like that. If there's not that level of ambition in the game design, it's a little disappointing, because that's part of the thrill. I mean, think about Return of the Jedi, right? I mean, you know, that was the thrill. And Star Wars is epitomized by this, by these multi-threaded stories, right? The great thing about Star Wars, and I think the first movie actually kind of kicked it off, is, you know, you get the big wipe across the screen, right? The chain scene, and you're with, you know, Luke on a planet's surface, and then you wipe the screen and you're in the Millennium Falcon, you know, and then you wipe the screen and you're with the droids while they're doing something. If it doesn't kind of telegraph that feel and let you get a little more intricate than just, you know, popping into a lobby and playing in a match and then, you know, voting on the next map, then that feels a little disappointing. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah. I can talk about story, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear what your thoughts are.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, I get more of a Titanfall feel about this game. Like, you know, it's just, you know, an online game. There's no story. Titanfall is kind of the same way. There was a story mode, but it was a really loose story mode. So I'm just kind of thinking this is more of they're trying to build a base to build on, you know, in the future. I don't think they're, you know, getting anywhere near, you know, starting off in space and, you know, going down the planet, you know, kind of going back and forth like that. I don't think that's where they're heading, or I shouldn't say that's where they're headed, but I don't think that's, you know, where they're going to start at. I think they're just, you know, just trying to build a good shooter, kind of a point of Gray was saying before. There is a I believe, just like a space battle mode, if anybody wants to correct me on that. I'm pretty sure there was I think they've talked about that before. There's just, you know, a standalone space battle mode that, you know, you can do. So, but I don't think, you know, you can go back and forth, at least not that I've heard of. And so, I don't know. DB, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think they are. It's going to be a great platform for them to build on. You know, I have said before that I've loved space battles in the old Battlefront games, but there's not that there. It's atmosphere combat, which I guess from an engine point makes sense. Like, creating a 3D space combat creates a different type of engine than ground-based combat. To your point about story, I think this goes back to why I dove into the MMO of Star Wars The Old Republic, is because after playing the beta, I wanted some of the Star Wars story. And the best sci-fi experience I had the weekend of the beta was doing yard work and listening to Halo Hunt the Truth and the narrative fiction there. You know, I guess what I was realizing after playing the beta is, as much as I love Star Wars, the reason I love it is the grand epic scale of this hero's journey, right? It's the Joseph Campbell piece of George Lucas. It's not necessarily the big battles. And the story that happens, at least in the survival mode, it is very much like Titanfall story, where Admiral Akbar's kind of hologram head pops up and gives you little updates and conversation and stuff. And it's very similar to, you know, as you were saying, Prime, that idea in Titanfall where, you know, you've got the little screen up and they're giving you about, you know, the fuel supply dumps are going to blow and all the different pieces there. So they're in the wave-based survival mode, there's a little bit of a story. In some of those single-player mission pieces, there's a little bit of a contained narrative within each mission, not something that stretches across them. But in the rest of the battles, the story draws on our memories and our nostalgia, right? It draws on, you know, our nostalgia of just the PlayStation commercial that launched this week, of playing Star Wars as a kid and imagining all these big battles. It gives you a chance to do that. And so I think it, to me, it works really well as a fun playground to live out that Star Wars piece. But in terms of giving you the epic Star Wars journey, it doesn't do that for me.
And all the matches are like big, huge matches, right? Is it like 32 players max in a match?
No, I mean, so there's a 40 player match, the big Hoth one. There's going to be big battles like that. But then there's 8v8. There's 10 player total. You know, there's a 10 player total death match. You know, some of them are even 4 or 5. You know, so there are some smaller squad based mission types. So yeah, I mean, I think truthfully, it's a pretty robust game, but it's very much a robust multiplayer game. And so it'll come down to what people want in their experience.
So yeah, maybe there will be some elements. I'm going to dream a little more here. So, you know, did any of you guys play Chrome Hounds on the 360?
No, I never did.
Never. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, so you know, you would go in, you know, you'd squad up, you'd go into a lobby, and you'd be given, and you would be presented a map and a mission, right, for whatever side you were on.
Yep.
And then, you know, unbeknownst to you, but over somewhere on the other side of the world, right, there's another squad of guys in a room getting the opposite, right, and then you're thrown on a battlefield, and like, that would be like, I would love to, you know, pop into a lobby. Let's say you start with 4 people, and they say, "Hey, you're going to be on this like covert mission in space. You know, one side is making a run to steal some plans or whatever, and it's a dogfight, right? And then when you get thrown into the randomizer next time, you pop into an 8 or 12 member match, and you're thrown into like a speeder bike, you know, thing. And then you know, you're the next time in the roulette wheel, you pop into like a 40 player match, and you're like, okay, now your squad joins up with these 32 other people, and you know, and you're on the battle on Hoth. That would have kind of tickled my fancy in that mode. But you know, I'll reserve judgment. We'll wait and see how it goes. If it's fun and lots of people are playing it, then I'll certainly jump into it. But see how it goes. Gray, any closing thoughts on not necessarily closing thoughts, but any other thoughts on Battlefront? I keep wanting to say Battlefield.
I know. Yeah, I just saw. I mean, just looking at the time here, we're just up above our scheduled time. So, I mean, I think it's fun. I think, you know, I'm going to take a little faith and get it. I think they'll, you know, definitely a lot of people I know, Guthook and some other people I talked to, are definitely going to wait until it comes out and see what it's more about, what it's like. It's definitely not Destiny. I think it's probably definitely more of a Battlefield game. But, you know, it's different. You know, I understand why the space battle thing would have been great for them to put in, but I'd rather have them make a solid first-person shooter than trying to do too much. You know, I think Battlefront 2 tried to do too much in many ways and was spread a little thin. So, but we'll see. I think it would be great to do the old X-Wing versus TIE Fighter as a DLC inside of Battlefront. I think that would be really cool. But I guess with that, let's go around the room and do our closing thoughts. We'll start with you, DB. Anything else you wanted to say before we wrap it up?
No, it's been great. I've been itching to kind of hear everybody's thoughts on, you know, being a Star Wars fan. So thanks for the conversation, guys.
And Prime, how about you? Any closing thoughts?
I kind of like played it up a lot. And just, I guess one of my main concerns was just kind of the map, how many maps there were. I guess there's 12 altogether. And that's excluding the survival and the mission modes. So there's 12 multiplayer, you know, for all the other modes. And I'm just kind of concerned that how is the, you know, obviously every map can't be played because obviously if you're doing like the attack on Walker, you know, you can't have that big map on one of the drop zones because otherwise it would take forever to play through that mode. So I don't know if they're just going to like, there's only going to be like 2 or 3 maps for, you know, for this mode and 2 or 3 maps for that mode. I'm just kind of concerned that it might get kind of old after a while if you're only doing, you know, a few maps at a time. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the depth is the depth there. You know, a lot of the Battlefield maps that you could play different modes on the same map, right?
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, will they, I mean, Hoth, I could definitely see them coordinating the section off to allow you to do survival. Will they do that? Or will there be 4 Conquest maps, 4 King of the Hill maps, 4 Capture, you know, yeah, if it's divided like that, then it won't have much legs. I agree with you.
Yeah, because I got pretty bored even, you know, just there was only one map, you know, for each mode that they had on the beta. So, you know, after playing it for like a day and a half straight or so. So it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Zeus? Any closing thoughts?
I'll just keep beating the same drum, man. Consoles or PCs, PCs or consoles. You mentioned you had a problem downloading a patch. I had a similar thing, you know, and I posted an article about it, you know, went to, you know, bring up my PS4 and found out that I couldn't, a patch had failed to download and install because I was at my hard drive limit, and I'd never gotten any kind of warning that I was approaching a limit. Like, the first time I got notified that I was down to, like, less than 2 gigs of space was because a download had failed. So, you know, for me, my feeling is that I invest almost the same amount of time maintaining my consoles as I invest in my PC for gaming purposes. You know, I invest other time in my PC because I do other stuff on it than gaming, but the times are pretty equivalent. Steam boxes are dropping next month. I don't think the divide is that wide, and I think the cost is getting down to the point of parity. So, no new consoles are launching this winter. So, I invite people to consider picking up a PC.
Yeah, PC gaming is a lot of fun, and but sometimes just sitting on the couch playing a console is where I'm feeling it. Well, guys, I want to thank you for all coming out to the podcast today. With that, we're going to wrap it up, and if you're listening and you have any comments or questions, please feel free to contact us. Let us know what you're thinking. You can drop us an email at podcast@bandagamers.net, or you can go to bandagamers.net and just comment right there on our shows. And for that, on behalf of DBQ Hams, Osiris Prime, Zeus Adamus, and myself, Greylock 3491, I want to thank you all for listening, and until next week, peace.